Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. Visitors, we welcome you. We're glad that the Lord has seen fit to bring you our direction. This morning, I'd like to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So he won't jump on you while you're up here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As we worship together, church, as we prepare to sing praises and offer our petitions and to hear God speak, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is always good to take a look at who God is. It's always good to remind our hearts of His power, of His glory, the fact that He alone deserves our worship, our commitment, our time, our lives. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise Your name. And we know, Lord, that You are far above us, that You are greater than all things, that You have made all things, that You rule over all things. Father, today we are grateful to come near Your presence through the sacrifice of Jesus. We are grateful to be covered by His blood so that our former lives of sin and death can be washed and regenerated, allowing us to draw near to You through Him. Father, today, as we sing, as we pray, as we commune, as we receive Your word, I pray, Lord, that You unite our hearts with You and with each other. Father, each and every one of us brings this morning the stress from the last week, the troubles that weigh us down, the worries and cares that are not bad, but tend to overwhelm. Father, we ask this morning that You in our hearts will be bigger than all other things. Blessed be Your name. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand together for these first two songs. The Lord our God in the midst of thee is mighty. Lord, the people praise you. Lift you up and raise you. You are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Lord, the people love you. Place nobody above you. Cry out, you are the Holy One, you're the one, you're the only one. Hallelujah, all the glory is to you, you are the Holy One. Had 10,000 hands, we would bless you as you command. You are the Holy One, you're the one, you're the only one. And if we had 10,000 tongues, we would bless you with everyone. Faith and speech and words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Our scripture reading today will be 1 John chapter 1, all of it. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which is with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank You just for this day and for this time. Lord, I thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. I thank You that You are our light in this dark world. And I pray that we would just follow You each and every day, Lord, and that we would just be quick to remove anything that would hinder our path and that would just get in the way with our relationship with You, Lord. I pray that we would just be faithful in confessing our sins to You, and that we would just walk in the light and not seek to walk in the darkness anymore, Lord. I pray that we would just go out and that we would share that light with everyone that we come into contact with. It's in Your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, God's praise, than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Oh, holy Lamb, Thou Son of God, most holy, Lord, most
If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, we're going to read from the book of John, chapter 17. A few weeks ago, we looked at the last words spoken by Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. And today I'd like us to focus on his last prayer before that crucifixion. And it's divided into three different sections. And the first part deals with Jesus praying to his Father for himself. The second part is that he prays for his disciples. And the third part, the third section, is that he prays for all believers. Beginning with John 17, verse 1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life in all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Let us offer the prayer for his body at this time. Loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love, your mercy, and your grace. That you love the world so much that you sent your beloved Son, Father, to save us from sin and to save us from eternal death. We are truly thankful. For it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. For it washes away our sins. And Father, help us to focus to the cross at this time, as we see the body, the mangled body of our Lord and Savior, nailed to that cross through his hands and his feet, the pain and the anguish that he went through for each one of us. And as we partake of this bread, let us remember that great sacrifice of love on his behalf. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave you them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew them with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you have given me, so that you may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that that scripture may be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into this world. I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be wholly sanctified. Father, we offer this cup of blessing, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that washed away our sins. Again, we thank you for this wonderful love of sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me wherever I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Heavenly Father, at this time, we offer up this prayer of thanksgiving. We offer up this prayer of gratitude for all that you have done for us. You have given us everything that we need to sustain life here upon this earth. You have blessed us physically, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. And Father, it's our prayer that we share with others those things that you have given to us. And most of all, the precious gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave his life for us in his body and his blood upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. May we give with a willing heart that it will be used to spread thy word throughout all the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and my soul. Therefore I will hope in the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mercy never come to an end. Spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary. Please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith. Oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. Renew my love, build my faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, restore my soul. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. I'd like to say, Lord, from the start, thank you for breaking through my heart. Thank you for tearing every chain apart. When I was lost, you made a way. You turned the darkest night to day. You are my joy, and Lord, I'd like to say, nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you. When I am weak, my Lord, you're strong, loving me even when I'm wrong. Lord, you're my salvation and my song. Every day I'll make the choice of listening, following your voice. Being with you, I can't help but rejoice. For nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you.
Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, and we just sang those words that he wishes that you and I would have his joy completed in our hearts. Nobody fills our heart like Jesus. Nobody fills our heart like Jesus. You know, I mention a lot of times there's so many litmus tests for our faith. There's so many things that we can look at in our own lives and determine, are we where we're supposed to be? Are we where we're supposed to be? And, you know, at different times in our life, at different chapters in our life, we have different checklists. Sometimes, where am I supposed to be? Well, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I not causing any trouble? Am I avoiding the sins that I know that I should avoid? I used to be there. And yet Jesus says, Father, I want you to make their joy complete. I want you to put the joy that I have, because I am so close to you, I want you to put that in all of their hearts so that they can be so close to you that their hearts will be filled with joy. I think that's a fabulous test. Has Jesus filled our heart so that joy is overflowing? Or is something else pushing it down? Or is something else stealing it? Are we worried? Are we scared? Are we mad? Are we angry? Are we frustrated? Are we anything else? I think it's a good test. Have we let something else come in and rob our joy? Have we let something else come in and say, you know what? That whole joy thing? That's for those silly people. You're smarter than that. You're more serious than that. You're above that. You worry about this. You think about that. You focus on fill in the blank. And yet our Lord and Savior, his words to us in John 17, I pray that their hearts may be filled with my joy. Oh, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And I'm very thankful that Steve read from from John chapter 17, and we just sang that song. It plays right into what we're looking at this morning. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and let's ask to see it. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we will see you in your word. You have given us what we need for faith. You have provided for us a way to you. And I pray that as we study the scriptures, I pray, Lord, that yours is the voice we hear. I pray, Lord, that yours is the power we receive. I pray, Lord, that you prick our hearts, that you turn us back to yourself, that you open our eyes to our failings that we need to get out of. Lord, that you draw us to your light. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Last Sunday, we took a look at the very beginning of the story, Genesis chapter 1, how in creation, the first thing that God does is he inserts himself into what he has made, and he inserts himself as light. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at John chapter 1, because John chapter 1, the beginning of the New Testament, I know it's the fourth book, but it's the beginning of the story. In fact, some might argue that it should be the first book, because John goes back a little bit further than Matthew or Mark and Luke. And John echoes the words of creation. He goes back and he puts the coming of Jesus into the world as an echo of the coming of God into his creation. And so this is jumping off the page. And it is making a connection of the Son being one with the Father and having a very important and really giant role to play in the creation of all things. And so John records it like this in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything made, not without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is the life of all things. There is no life outside of Christ. Now, some might argue, and some might say, well, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe, and look, I'm drawing breath, I have a pulse, but that's it. And we know from the God who existed before he made everything that we can see, from the God who will be the only one left standing after everything that we see has been removed. We know that the definition of life is not just drawing breath and having a pulse. That's not life. Life is bigger than that. Now, the enemy just wants you to think, hey, you know what? You're here for a few years. You do what you want to do. You serve yourself. You serve your pleasures. Make yourself happy. Do what you want to do. Be as bad as you want to be. Be as good as you want to be. You just serve yourself, because that's it. Because when you're gone, you're gone. If only it were that easy. I mean, if only it were that easy. That I just live how I want to live, and when it's done, I don't have to answer. And if that is the case, if that were reality, then truly justice would not exist. We saw Wednesday night, God is a God of justice. We were back in Jeremiah, 36? God is a God of justice. Justice and mercy. Without those two things, we got nothing. And so here in John chapter 1, we see that the light of Jesus will never dim or be shadowed by darkness. So Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And that light is the light that we live our lives by. And we have a promise right here at the very beginning. Victory. Victory is our story. Victory is the story of Jesus. Victory is the story of all who follow Jesus. Darkness will not overcome the light. Now, if you knew beforehand which side was going to win, wouldn't it be kind of foolish to continue to be on the losing side? If you're told right from the start, hey, this team is going to win, well, how can you know? Guarantee. Yeah, but nothing's guaranteed. How can you actually know? Well, there's a ton of evidence. Ton of evidence. Well, I've never read the Bible. How can I know? Well, the Bible has an answer for that too, because God thought of that. In Romans chapter 1, he said, open your eyes. Look around you. Look around you, floating atoms of happy accidents and explosions. Nice try. Really? The order of the world, you think, came from an explosion? Anybody ever seen an explosion? What do they cause? Destruction and chaos. An explosion. Yes, you see, a wonderful explosion, a chaos destruction causing explosion, made every magical thing float right into its place so that it may spin and live right where it's at. And you're just a little speck in all of that, meaningless, hopeless. My story. But God has the truth. God says, look around. Look at how things work. Look at how things work. When Job demanded an answer from God in his story, and God showed up to answer Job, what did God point to? Creation. He said, look at the animals. Okay. Look at the animals. Just look at them. That doesn't make sense, and yet I made it. Yeah, I'll just throw a crazy fact at you. And I'm no animal expert. But I think it's very interesting that a giraffe has the same number of neck bones as we do. Is that right? You giraffe experts out there fact checking me? Thank you. Same neck bones as a mouse. So the mouse, the man, and the giraffe all have the same number of bones in their neck. You ever seen a giraffe up close? That is one crazy looking animal, isn't it? It is. I love watching them run. I mean, I've seen them up close at a zoo, and all I notice are the horns and the tongue, because that tongue is crazy. But I like even more on the nature shows to watch a giraffe run, because that should not happen. It just doesn't look possible. It doesn't. And then you see them fight with each other. Have you ever seen two giraffes fight? I mean, if we can give this a human analogy, this is akin to you go on YouTube and you find those dudes slapping fights. Have you seen those? Where two guys will stand there on the arm wrestling table. Instead of arm wrestling, they take turns slapping each other in the head till one of them can't stand anymore. Yeah, intelligent, right? Hey, I want to slap you as hard as I can. Fantastic. And then you're going to slap me as hard as you can. Okay, sound a little bit better. And we're going to go back and forth until one of us is unconscious. Okay. What's the prize for this activity? Yeah, you win a belt. I win a belt for slapping you unconscious and having a concussion. Yeah, you win a belt. You win a belt. Creation is, it's not crazy, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, and God made it. He made it, and He ordered it, and He put it all together. And the light that He brings to it will not be overcome by darkness. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and you know how this goes. Matthew shows up on the scene. John has been preaching about the kingdom of God. Jesus shows up. He's baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes out into the wilderness. He's tempted by the enemy. And then as soon as he is done with his temptation, he is ministered by the angels, and now he's ready to go. And the first thing that Matthew records him doing to start his ministry is take the light to the dark. Take the light to the dark. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay, so the first thing he does, John has been arrested, he's about to start his ministry, and he heads north. He goes to Gentile country. Everybody asked, if you're the Messiah, this whole ministry, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Son of God, if you are our Jewish God's messenger, how do you start things off? And he says, well, I'm going to go to those dirty people up there. Really? Okay. Verse 14, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. This is why he did it. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From the time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, shows us very clearly that it is those living in the dark that need the light. That's who He is. That's what He does. Before He has the, the encounters or the challenges by all of God's religious elite or all the lawyers or the teachers or all the very religious people of the day, Jesus fulfills God's word for him by going to the darkness, the place where the people are considered dirty and unworthy and not able to draw near to God. Why should we even be talking about people who are so disgustingly sinful and so filled with darkness? Why should we even consider them? We're here. We're filled with light. We're in this nice little light factory that God provided for us. He's in light, so let's just all enjoy the light. And the first thing the Son of God does is goes to the dark. He doesn't go to the dark side, as popular movies have shown us, the temptation. He takes the light to the dark. He takes the good that God is, and He provides it for those who are utterly lost. And He gives us a great example. He gives us a great example. He says, you are filled with the light. What do you do with the light? You don't stay here in the light bulb factory. You take the light and you put it where it's needed. And where is the light needed? In the dark. Now, it doesn't take him long because in the very next chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, take a look at verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, 14, he now turns this on his followers, and not only is he going to do this very same thing, he now looks at his followers and he says to them, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives its light to all in the house. In the very same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says, look, you're light. And we all know no one lights a light to hide it. You don't light a light to not use the light, right? That's kid stuff. Every dad who's ever walked down the hallway of his own house knows this rule, right? Who left this light on? Who pays the electric bill? If you're done with a room, turn the light off. And you know what's coming next, right? What's the response? I was coming right back. We've all heard it. I was coming right back. Did your kid ever look at you and say, Dad, you left the light on? Of course, again, the response is, I pay for that light. Jesus says no one, and again, there was not light switches in his time. They had oil lamps. And he goes, no one lights an oil lamp and then cover it up. Why would you waste the oil? Why would you waste the light? That's not what light's for. Light is not to be hidden. Light is to be seen. So then he connects that to their lives and he says, look, your light and a city that's up on a hill is not there so that no one will look. A city set up on a hill is so that everyone's vision will rise above themselves, notice and say, that's what it looks like. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, church, isn't that what we're doing? We are keeping our eyes on God's city up on the hill of His glorious presence in the light. And we're saying, that's how it should be. I bet this last week you spent more time looking at the darkness around you and complaining that's not how it ought to be than actually focusing on the light of God and saying that's how it's supposed to be. You see the difference? You see how quickly we get caught in the negative? We get drugged down in the negative so fast by all the darkness around us. But we think, wow, I'm still a part of the light conference. I'm still living my life in the light factory, so it's not really affecting me. I'm filled with light, and I'm focusing on the darkness, and it's just a great thing. No, light doesn't focus on the darkness. Light shines in the darkness. That's our relationship to the dark. Not to the point to the dark and say, well, that dark's bad. That dark's bad. That darkness is bad. Our job is to take the light that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, you are the light of the world. No one else is going to light it up. No one else is going to bring truth. You have truth. You have the light of God. And your responsibility is go into the darkness of the world and say, this is it. This is it. It's a very powerful call, isn't it? It's a very convicting call. Let your faith be seen by others. Church, you and I are supposed to live a certain way, and we all know this because we've been reading our Bibles and hearing sermons for years. Our parents told us the exact same thing. Do the right thing. And Jesus goes one step further and says, do the right thing, but do it in front of other people. Do the right thing in front of other people. Why? So they will see you and say, wow, God is good. God is good. Now, there's the other trap we run into, right? Is when people see our good in our lives, and what do they want to say? Yeah, wow, Michael's good. And we have a choice right there, right? A choice that you and I have failed many times in our existence. When someone compliments us, and we can either say, Scotty said it. He won. Thank you. Or not me. Look at those two options. When we do what Jesus says and we live a good life so that others may see it, and they actually see it and they respond to it. Look, church, you know that your life is a sermon, right? Your life is a sermon lived in front of the lost. And when that sermon actually hits their hearts, they say something, do they not? They notice. And they say, wow, I was really impressed by how you, or, I don't know many people who would have. That is them walking forward during the invitation song of the sermon that is your life. You have a choice. Same way I have a choice every Sunday. We offer an invitation and you walk up here and I say, hey, good job. Thanks for sitting on the front row. You're awesome. Or, Jesus, we come to you because you're awesome. So every time the sermon of your life is actually loud enough to be heard and is actually recognized by someone in the dark and they say something, bite your tongue to say thank you and not give God his glory. Instead, use that in saying, whoa, God is sending this person, recognizing his glory in my life. Now is the perfect time to say, well, you know what? You know why I do this, right? Just ask him a question. You know why I made that good decision, right? You know why I refused to look at that obscene image of another woman that wasn't my wife, right? You know why I wouldn't laugh at that dirty joke that's being spread like fire around the office, right? You know why I refuse to gossip and just say, hey, have you heard about so-and-so in every classroom of the school, right? There is a reason why I did not join into the darkness, and it's Jesus. What? That's right. Jesus is the reason. Because he has shown in my light and shown me there's a better way than lust and hatred and gossip and murder and rioting and whatever else you want to fill in the blank or whichever personal one hits you right between the eyes or right in the heart. There is a better way than living like everyone in the darkness, and I have seen it because of Jesus Christ. Look, that's what John would later do. Matt read for us in 1 John chapter 1. Let's turn over there. In 1 John chapter 1, he starts his letter to the church and says, hey, look, we saw Jesus. We walked with him. We talked with him. We listened to him. We ate with him. We healed with him. We broke bread with him. We did all these awesome things. We touched him. We spent the night with him. We went on campouts with him. We walked on water with him. We are here to let you know that everything that we saw in Jesus is true. That's how he started the entire letter. John chapter 1, let me get over there. John chapter 1. All right, so he starts his whole letter like that, and he says, God is, look at verse 5. Here's the message. Here's what we have received in Jesus Christ, and here's what we share with you. God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. We believe the witnesses that walked with the light while he was in the flesh, and now we ourselves, he says in verse 7, now we walk in the light. See, first, his first followers walked in the light with Jesus, and now we've heard their story. It's touched us in the heart. They said, look how good God is. And we said, I want to know how good God is. Now we're walking in the light. We have been born again out of death into life, out of darkness into light. We have been brought out of the camp of the enemy, and we have been redeemed and placed within the safety and love and mercy of the camp of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so now, since we walk in the light, John says, two things are possible. Two things are possible. Let's take a look at them.
verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. Church, first thing we get about the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, this is not just friendship with people that we go to church with, that if it weren't for Jesus, I would never talk to, I would never be caught dead with, or I wouldn't hang out with in my spare time. We have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. Being connected, being close, having lives that intersect with each other are only possible in the light. You ever had a conversation with someone that you were trying to hide something from them? It's very awkward, isn't it? I mean, some of us are so bad that you can't even tell us a surprise because we can't even make eye contact, right? Yeah, sure. Same thing when there's darkness in our lives and we're trying to fellowship with those in the light. It doesn't work. We walk in the light, and as my life is in the light, as your life is in the light, then we can truly have fellowship with each other. Steve read for us in John chapter 17, and it fits right here. What was Jesus' prayer? What was Jesus' prayer for all those who would believe? What was it? The third one. Okay, I'll tell you. He said, Jesus, I want them all to be one as you and I are one. I in you, you in me, us in them, them in us. That is fellowship. And that close relationship with Jesus, with the Father, and with another believer in Christ is only possible while we're walking in the light. Because if I say I'm walking in the light, oh yeah, I'm walking in the light. I mean, Michael, I'm here this morning, aren't I? That's my proof I'm walking in the light. Really? You ever gone in somewhere that you weren't comfortable because of all the darkness? Did that make you dark? No, it did not. Your light doesn't go out just because you're somewhere dark. It's not how it works. The light's in here. The light's in here. And so Jesus prayed for all of his followers that we would be one. That we would be one. That magic word that should, again, Christians for thousands of years, Christians for thousands of years have struggled so much with the idea of the identity of God, right? We want to figure out who is God and what's most confusing. You ever done a deep dive on the Trinity? It's confusing. I'll let you in on a little secret. Most people get it wrong. One of the first things I can do, here's a springboard, here's a starting point. When Jesus talks about being one, he's not talking about identity, he's talking about relationship. Relationship. Because when I become one with you, you and I don't do a meld. I don't lose my identity. You don't lose your identity. We are just able to connect in a new way because of the light of Jesus. And that's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for us. So number one, we will be able to have fellowship with one another. True fellowship. And if you and I are hiding something or playing in the darkness, it's not going to work. We walk in the light so we can be real with each other. You got any friends or people that you work with or hang out with that just aren't real? I mean, they're just fake. You don't like hanging out with them too much, do you? No. You can't trust what they say. You can't trust what they do. Are they putting me on? You don't want to waste your time there. So we need to be real. Number two. And in verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus' blood washes us clean. Now, we are in the light. And that doesn't mean that we never slip up. It doesn't mean that we never miss the mark. And it does not mean that walking in the light means, well, someday I'll get to be close to Jesus because someday I'll get it all right. No, you won't. No, you won't. Let's just dispel that myth right now. There was only one qualified to die for the sins of the world. Only one got it perfect, got it right. You and I are working, you and I are trying, and you and I are falling. Right? We know this. We slip. We stumble. We sin. We miss the mark. We err. We make mistakes. We say wrong things. We do wrong things. And he says Jesus' blood covers all of those sins. Jesus' blood covers all those sins. If we are walking in the light, our sins are forgiven. So if you are in the light, there is no reason, because turning to the darkness is not just, well, I'm just going to give up on my confession and I'm just going to go play with sinful people. That's not the only way that people in the light can find darkness. If you are walking in the light and you say, I can't confess that sin, I'm going to keep it hidden, you are playing with darkness. If you are a Christian, you are walking in the light, and you say, people wouldn't understand, I will not follow God's word, I will not confess my sins to someone else, I will not bring the darkness into the light to be exposed, I don't want to be embarrassed, I don't want to be thought less of, I don't want to be made fun of, I don't want to be ostracized, I don't want to experience any of those negative things, so I'm just going to hold it right here. And I'm going to walk around and just pray to God. God, I haven't brought you my sin, but I really hope no one else sees it. Let go. Let go. Because walking in the light means we can confess our sins to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and to one another as fellow brothers and sisters who have been washed and have been cleansed. We find forgiveness. We find God's mercy. We find God saying, Jesus died for that. I love you. Lord, I messed up. I haven't lived right. I don't talk right. I don't act right. I don't do the right things. I'm not serving anybody. I don't love others around me. I look at other people with a wary eye. I didn't trust you last week in this or that. Whatever. When we lay that out before God, he says, I love you. I forgive you. When we hold it in tight, we can't find the mercy of God. It's not that God's mercy can't reach us. It's that we are keeping something from his mercy. Hey, does anybody believe that there's going to be people who spend eternity away from God? I mean, is that a fair statement? That some people are going to be lost? How? Is it because God's mercy is not powerful? No. It is because they willingly chose to refuse the mercy of God as provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. You walk in the light. You know better. Quit hiding. Quit hiding. We have fellowship with one another, and our sins are forgiven. That's good stuff. Let's turn over to James chapter 1. I want to close it over here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to end with some good news about God. So that hopefully, prayerfully, our joy, the joy of Jesus, may fill our hearts. Wouldn't you love to go one full day with just complete joy? I know where some of you live. I know there's some of us that would like to go 1 hour with complete joy. And no, naps don't count. Yeah. We'd like to go 1 hour, one day, having our joy complete joy. Nothing else. There's not room for anything else. I'd like to go one full day, and there's not room for fear. I'd like to go one full day, there's not room for sorrow. I'd like to go one full day, there's not room for worry. I'd like to go one full day, there is not room for guilt. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, that would be amazing. Oh, one full day without room for regret. I didn't say that one yet, did I? Because that's a big one. Yeah. Jesus says, I want them to be filled with my joy. All right, James chapter 1. Go down to verse 17. Here's some good news about God. And it kind of ties it up with the light. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God is the Father of lights, and there is no shadow due to his changing. I mean, we understand the analogy, right? The sun moves around different times of the day, and the shadows get shorter or longer, and we see how light changes, angles of lights change. Shadows in your house, you ever turn a light switch on in the house, you didn't realize something was there, and it was right there, and you ever been scared in your own house? That's unsettling, isn't it? Yeah. I'll tell you my problem. Mine is not being scared. Mine is depth perception. The good news is I passed it on to my offspring. You know how you're able to, you know, you could get up in the middle of the night, the dog's barking, needs to go outside or something. You don't have to turn on every light in the house. You know how you pretty much know the path through your room and your hallway and around the furniture in the living room? Yeah. Well, I tend to think that I know my house pretty well, that I could close my eyes and walk from one end to the other. But my problem is my horizontal depth perception is not very good, and I have a tendency when I turn around corners, I turn too tight. I have slammed my shoulder into door jams so many times, it's not even funny. Garrett has the same problem. He said, I just walked into the wall. I said, ha, no DNA test required. You're mine. Because that's me. I have no horizontal depth perception, so I walk around my house. I know where the wall is, and I'm not even talking about in the dark. I'm talking about in the light of day. I will walk around to the bathroom, and I don't know. I don't know if my brain's trying to calculate subconsciously the absolute shortest point from A to B. And I think I can save just a little bit of space, a little bit of step, or a little bit of time just by cutting that corner really tight. And I just, and I hit my shoulder. One of my worst injuries, I still carry it. I go to the chiropractor once a month, and they have to open my neck back up. Do you guys remember those toys when you were a kid? They had blocks on them, and they had those squiggly pieces in between, and you could plug the blocks on each side and go like a little accordion. I did that to my neck. I was on a ski trip with some buddies over in New Mexico. And they said, Michael, you've got the loft bedroom. There was this loft in one of their family members' cabins. I said, oh, cool, a loft. And I ran. I was so excited, and I jumped up on the ladder. The ladder was on the wall. There was a loft up there. And I jumped up on the ladder, and my depth perception didn't allow me to account for the fact that at the top of the ladder was just a square. So jumping up on the ladder, I hit my head on the ceiling of that second-story bedroom. Hard. And my neck went, brrrr. We were supposed to ski the next morning. I was walking around like this. And my head was physically inside my body. Oh, it was horrible. So that's my depth perception. That's my depth perception. And a lot of times we have changes and variation because light changes and shadows come in. And we don't see things real clearly. But he says, God, the Father of lights, doesn't change. He doesn't change. Now, don't let that discourage you from learning more about God. You know, sometimes we're practical atheists and we just think, well, there's nothing else for me to learn about God. Really? Really? I'm stepping away. I'm just taking a step away from you if you tell me you've got God figured out. If there is nothing else to discover about God, then I am scared for you. I am scared for you. I have been a Christian most of my life. It's been a lot of years, and God is still blowing my mind. Because I'm still searching. I'm still searching. I had one of my students one time ask me, Michael, why are you a preacher? I said, I'll be honest with you. I'm a preacher because God is the only thing I've ever discovered in my entire life that didn't bore me at some point. There's always more. He's bigger than I am. Everything else I can learn, I can master. I get bored. You ever get bored? Doing the same thing over and over and over. Me too. God's the only thing I've ever discovered in my life that has never bored me. I mean, and Sonny. God and Sonny are the only things in my life. Once I said it out loud, I was like, oh, I wonder how that came across. God doesn't change. God doesn't change, and we are clawing towards him. We are reaching out to him, and he's still there. He's in the light. He's in the light. Church, we need to walk and live in the light. Quit hiding. Quit turning away. Quit refusing to live your life out loud in front of others. Take the journey into Galilee. Live your life. And when they see the good things that you do, say, I got to tell you something. It's not me. It's him. Church, this morning, our invitation is not me. It's him. And if you need to come to him, respond. You may just need to enjoy the fellowship and the light again. You may just need to feel close to your brothers and sisters in Christ again. You may need to get something off your chest. You may just need to ask and say, hey, you know what? Look, I need some help. I need some prayers. I need some love. I need something. If you're not a Christian this morning and you're still walking and living in the dark, come out of it. Come out of it, because the dark is not a good place. It's not good. Come to the light and have your joy fulfilled. Let's stand together and sing.
In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above, in need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me, in need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in need. In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above, in need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me, in need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in need, I am your child, I am in need.
Be seated, please.
Good morning, family. Or is it afternoon? Not yet. Okay. Have quite a few announcements this morning. We need to remember Sister Terry Elam as she broke her good foot She's currently now at Trust Point, room 168. We also need to continue to remember Becky and Rex Driver. Robert and Janet are on their way to Colorado for Janet to see a specialist for her health problems. We also need to continue to remember our sister Rebecca Vickers in the nursing home. We have a praise here, Sister Charlie. Her prayers have been answered. She has a music teaching job at a local school here, and so we're very happy about that. Mark's aunt, Frances Bonner, passed away recently. The Dollies have sold their house and bought a house at Caroline. I'm like a lot of the men in the office there. I didn't realize you could buy a house at Caroline. So we need to get their new address so we can stay up with them. Rod Cochran, I understand, was announced Wednesday night, was in the hospital. He's still in the hospital. This is Dale's brother-in-law. And then Dale's sister is in hospice care also. Brother Tony mentioned one of the employees from McWhorter, I didn't catch the name, passed away recently also. Is that what you said? Or is that misunderstood? Okay. My last two announcements. That's the reason I asked to close today. Grandparents, Patty and I. Sisters, Emma, Caroline, and Ainsley. Parents, Luke and Rebecca Stone. Wish to announce the birth of Henry Bennett Stone, born Wednesday, July 14th. Weighing 6 pounds, 11 ounces, and measuring 20 inches long. Henry is currently in NICU in the Louisville Hospital due to breathing problems and jaundice, but he's continuing to improve every day. So we request prayers for his continued improvement so he can go home. Patty and I will be traveling back down there tomorrow and staying through the following Monday to kind of give our daughter-in-law's mother a break. She's been there since July 1st because she was on bed rest until they induced labor. Also, we're very excited to announce that our daughter, Katie, and her family are moving back to the Lubbock area. They will only be a 12-minute drive from our house in Wolford. So we're very excited about that. Is there any announcements that need to be brought forth that I didn't get knowledge of? Anybody else? Seeing none, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today praising you for the great love that you've shown us, which was evidenced through the grace and mercy that you've given us through the precious blood of your Son, our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We come before you this morning knowing that ultimately all healing is either through your divine touch or through the science that you have allowed man to learn about. All praise is due to God for all healing. Today we pray specially for our sister Terry Elam as she recovers from a broken foot. We pray for Brother Rex and Sister Becky Driver. We pray for Brother Robert and Sister Janet Park. We continue our prayers for Sister Rebecca Vickers. We praise you for Charlie's good news, and we know that this will be a blessing in her life, her and her life. We pray for Mark for comfort at the loss of his aunt. We pray that the Dollies' move is beneficial to them. We pray for Brother Rod Cochran as he's in the hospital that his healing will be swift. And we pray for Dale's sister. We also pray this morning for those who are still traveling for this summertime, that they have a safe journey to their destinations and back home to us. We thank you for this time of worship through song and prayer, through your word, and with the fellowship of our brothers and sisters here at Sunrise. Glorifying your name and at the same time edifying each of us individually so we continue our work spreading your word while we're here on this earth. In Christ's name we pray.